the Christian experience. Now we find that these virgins here all had lamps in the beginning, and they all had enough oil in them to have a light burning, which is symbolical of the love of God that's shed abroad in the hearts of everyone who finds the Lord. God gives us a light in our lives when we first find Him. And as the story goes there, some of them continued to have light enough all the way through. They were waiting for a particular time. Even as you and I, when we get this light of life in our hearts, we do that for a particular reason, that we might have that light in our life on through into eternity. That was given us to lead us through this world to the world beyond. Not just that we should have it for some particular occasion and just put it out and maybe gather it up again for another particular time, but this should be trimmed and burning continually until the time of the bridegroom comes. Well, the time of the bridegroom coming in the spiritual sense to which this refers is when our Lord returns for us, or when He calls us out of this world. Either case, it all means the same. And we are to keep this light burning all the way along through our pilgrim journey until that time comes. Now these ten had the light in the beginning, and were if the bridegroom had made his appearance just then, all would have been well, no doubt, because they all were ready for him. But because he delayed and didn't come immediately, some of them weren't as careful as they should have been about the things that were necessary to be in readiness for His coming, and they let their lights go out. They didn't make the proper provisions for keeping them trimmed and burning, and so it was that when He actually made His appearance, that little they had on hand had disappeared, and their lights had gone out. They woke up to the fact that they weren't ready for the bridegroom, and they heard the proclamation that He was at hand and ready to make His appearance. There was nothing they could do about it then when that time came, but see what they could provide in the best manner possible. And as they turned to those others who still had their lamps burning and tried to borrow some, they were fearful that they couldn't spare any. They wanted enough to be ready for the bridegroom themselves, and they had none to give away, so they advised them to go and find some for themselves. Well, that's an individual matter with us, everyone, as to whether or not we're ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus at any time. Back there in Revelations, I believe it says, the writer says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus," or at any time, rather, he meant, "I'm ready for your coming, Lord, just come anytime you're ready." Well, now if these persons had all been in that state and had their lamps trimmed and burning, there'd been no doubt that they'd all just been as ready for Him as John was when he said, "Just come on, Lord, anytime you're ready now." And that's the way that we're going to have to be, I'm sure, is to just be ready for the Lord at any time. If we don't, why, the enemy, as I say, he's able to present things to us that will occupy our minds and our hearts and draw us away from the things of God and keep us from following Him as closely as we should, and miss the grace and the blessing that we can enjoy in this life. And above all, He'd like to cheat us out of eternal bliss with the Father and the Son. And it's our business, however, as to what we do about it. as it was with these individuals that were mentioned here. Some of them were concerned enough that they had enough on hand to see them through, and they must have been living close enough to the Lord to realize that. While on the other hand, the others must have been careless or indifferent or something or other that caused them to not be as mindful of that as they should have been. That they may have been looking for him to come right away and thought, well, that's all that's necessary. We've got enough to last us till he comes, and didn't pay it any more attention than that. But it didn't last long enough. And what we get in the beginning isn't going to last long enough either. We're going to have to get a fresh supply from God continually as we go along, or it won't be long until something else will crowd in, and we'll fail to get hold of the things that are necessary to keep us close enough to the Lord, and we'll stumble somewhere. We might even go along till we find that our lamps are gone out and we didn't know it. There has been such things happen that I know from experience that there was a time that I didn't follow the Lord as closely as I ought. And I was surprised, actually, to find out just how far I'd been falling away from the Lord. You know, there was the time that Peter and the disciples said, well, Lord, we'll go with you even to death if necessary. Right before he was crucified, they said, oh, yes, Lord, we'll go with you even if it means death. But when the time actually came, they led Jesus off, and there was Peter. Scripture tells us later on there he was falling afar off. He'd been with the Lord closely for some time there, well, all the while, from his baptism on up until that time. He'd followed closely with the Lord there, and he was just sure now that he was going to follow the Lord right on through. But when the time actually came that he should have been right with the Lord there, instead he was following afar off, and he actually comes to the place where he denied the Lord. The enemy is just has the same purposes now as he did then. He desired Peter to sift him like wheat, and he got advantage of him enough to cause him to deny the Lord there, whereas Peter thought he'd never do a thing like that. Well, you know, we might have some things in our mind, too, that we wouldn't do, but if we don't follow the Lord closely enough, we just be surprised sometimes, perhaps, to find out what we actually had allowed ourselves to get into because that we failed to be as close to the Lord as we are. I don't think Peter ever imagined that there's any such thing as that ever happened in his life. He was just so certain that he loved the Lord, and he was so sure that he'd just go with him right even to death. But when the time came, he just didn't prove because he weakened and he was following the Lord a long way off. Well, we're going to have to follow the Lord closely if we follow him very far, or we're going to get lost somewhere. We'll get behind, and we can actually get lost from the Lord if we don't follow him closely enough. And I'm sure that it's going to stand us well in hand, everyone, to make certain of that for ourselves. Now, these virgins here, the wise ones, they may have been concerned about the others in some respect, but regardless of the concern they might have had, it was up to those individuals who failed to keep their lamps in readiness. It was up to them rather than the others. The others that were wise, they had their lamps to care for, it was not their responsibility to trim the lamps and keep them burning of all the others. That was an individual matter with them. And so it was, too, in these parables here that was given. they each were entrusted with a certain responsibility. And the Lord, when He saves us, does trust us with a responsibility individually. Now, He may put more responsibility on one than another, even as He did, even as it was in this parable here. But nevertheless, there was none of them that He left without some responsibility. And those who actually took it to heart and did something about it and showed some fruits of their efforts and of their desires and of their intentions at His coming, they were commended. While that one who, on the other hand, was not concerned and didn't make too much difference to them anyhow, they didn't figure that this man was worthy of anything anyway, and they thought, well, if he gets back as good as he gave, why, that's good enough. But that wasn't what his Lord expected of him. These people who started out with the lamp burning in the beginning, that was good enough for the time being, but it wasn't good enough to last all the way through until the coming of the bridegroom. And it was good enough that this man had that one talent to start with, but he didn't do anything about it other than bury it in the ground. And when his master came, his Lord came to reckon with him then, he'd done nothing about it, only just to dig it up and hand it back to him and say, here, you got now what you gave me, that's sufficient. It didn't please his Lord, and I'm sure that what the Lord gives us in the beginning, He's not going to be satisfied with when He comes to make a reckoning with us either. He gives us what He does in the beginning, that it might increase on our hands, and that it might be a benefit not only to our own souls, but to others round about us. We don't live to ourselves, and we don't die to ourselves, as Scripture says, and we have an influence either for good or for bad. I'm sure that He requires something of us, not only for our own good, but for the good of others that might come in contact with us. I'm thinking, too, about how that in one instance there was different ones came to the Lord and said, Lord, we'll follow you wherever you go. And He said to one, says, well, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests. And he said, I don't have a place to lay my head. And then there was others came to him and said, well, we'll follow you likewise. But you know, when it just actually came on down, they weren't all willing to follow the Lord as they should have. And they left Him along the way. And we can follow the Lord in the beginning, but lose Him by the wayside somewhere. He won't lose us, but we can lose Him because we just don't follow on as we ought. One of the old writers said, I believe, we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord. People can start and get some little knowledge of the Lord in the beginning, but to get a better knowledge, as we heard here one day not too long ago in this meeting, to learn of the Lord, we must get close to Him and learn of Him for ourselves. The Lord isn't going to just teach us without some effort. He's not going to lead us without some effort on our part. Which makes me think of a teacher I had in school one time, and she was very concerned about the pupils getting the things that were necessary for their good, and she taught a great deal of the philosophy of life that didn't come in the textbook, and she was anxious that they get the principles of daily living instilled in them, along with the things that were taught in the book. And sometimes the pupils weren't as diligent as they should have been about learning the things that they ought, and She was patient to quite an extent too, but sometimes her patience got a little thin. And I recall at one time that she said, "Well," said, "I just want you to get these things so bad that I'd be glad if you had a lid on top of your heads and I could just open that lid and pour it in and you'd get it." But she says that's not the case. She says what you get, you're going to have to put forth some effort for. And so it is with us in the things that we receive from the Lord. It's going to be because we're getting close enough to the Lord that we can receive them. He's not just sending his parcels, as we heard the other day. He's not sending them just way out there when we can get within reach of them where he's handing them out. He's not tossing them away out to us. When we can be close enough, he can hand them to us. And if we're not concerned enough about getting the things from the Lord that we should, we're going to be missing some of them. I think, too, about how that there was instances of various kinds in the Old Testament where the Lord had promised these blessings to his people, and those there's any number of them where people have the opportunity of obtaining the favor and the blessing of the Lord upon themselves and upon their posterity and those around about them that they just failed to do because they didn't live close enough to the Lord. God showed himself strong in behalf of his people all the way through. He always has. He has never changed in that respect. He did it from the very beginning, even before Christ came into the world. And he's done that since. He did that with the apostles in the early days. He's done that with everyone who would follow him close enough on down through to our day. We ourselves can bear witness to the way in which the Lord has worked with us individually. And I'm sure that there's none of us who have lived for the Lord any length of time, hardly, but what have realized for ourselves just what we can obtain from following the Lord and how he can bless us if we just live in a place where he can bestow his favors upon us. I'm thinking, too, about how there was one instance in particular that impressed my mind, and that was of a man back here, Elisha. Now, he was following the Lord through keeping in touch with Elijah, God's anointed. And here when Elijah was about to finish his mission here on the earth, he came upon Elisha as he was plowing in the field. And he cast his mantle over him and turned to leave. However, Elisha turned and he says, I believe I'll just read that. It says, so Elijah had just come back from the long journey there where he had fled from the wicked king, queen that was desiring to take his life. And he says, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. He realized, this man Elijah did, God already told Elijah to appoint this man Elisha in his stead. So he went over there and he cast his mantle on him. And Elisha reacted in just the way that it describes here. He at first wanted to go and bid his parents farewell, but nevertheless, it doesn't say he did that. It says that he slew the oxen that he was using to plow with there, and he took the plow and used it to kindle the fire and make a sacrifice to the Lord, and he immediately followed after Elisha. And this next reading here will give us some idea of how closely he followed that man. He realized that this man was a man of God, and that he could help him in some manner. Now, I don't know just how much God had revealed to him in regard to following Elijah, but nevertheless, I don't think we have any example in the Word anywhere that shows us of anyone who was more intent on following someone real closely than this instance here. This reading is in the second chapter of 2 Kings. And it came to pass that when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went on to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on together. Then, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee for a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken up from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and a horse of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold on his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elisha that fell from him, went back, stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. So we see here that this man was not to be dissuaded from following Elijah. Elijah himself said, well, now I'm going on over here to this place. You stay here. And he told him, no, as your soul lives and my soul lives, I just won't leave you. And he tried that the third time, and he still wouldn't be dissuaded. He was going to stay right with him. He was persuaded he's going to get something out of it. And the Lord has promised us something, too. We'll get something out of it if we just be as firmly persuaded in our hearts as this man was. Well, he just stayed right with him. Well, the sons of the prophets, they came out and said, "Well, don't you know that the Lord's going to take your master away from you today?" And they tried to engage him in conversation. And he said, "Oh, never mind that. I know all about it." He said, "Just keep your peace." And he went right on with Elijah. He didn't stop to talk the matter over with them. He just kept right with him. And there's something there that Elijah gave him a commandment to. He said, "Now I'm going to give you the desire of your heart today. I'm going to see that you have the desire of your heart granted today. If you just be careful to see what takes place and not let anything escape you." Well, that just made him all the more intent. I don't believe he took his eyes off of him a minute. He knew God's going to take him away, and he was looking for that blessing, and he just wasn't going to have his eyes off that man for a minute. He didn't know just what minute might be. He wasn't going to take any chances on it. And he followed right on there, and he asked a hard thing. He asked a hard thing. He didn't ask something easy. He asked a hard thing. But nevertheless, he was sure that that would be granted if he just be intent on his purpose all the way through. And as they come to the river there, Elijah just took his mantle and smote the water, and it parted just like it did back there in the days when Joshua led him across. You know, God was just the same then as he was back in Joshua's day. He hadn't varied in the least. His power was just the same. His recognition of the people of God, his followers, was just the same. And those who would stay close enough to him that he could help them out in an instant, at an instant, he was just as ready then as he ever was. So Elijah, he hit the water, and with his mantle, it parted, and they walked through on dry ground there across the Jordan River, just like the children of Israel did. There were thousands of them that crossed back in Joshua's day, but there's only two of them crossed at this particular time. But the Lord was just as ready as he ever was. He was just as ready to work there for those two as he was for the thousands that he was leading over into the promised land. They got across there, and he didn't possibly take too much note of that, although he did recognize it. Went on, and just all of a sudden, the chariot of the Lord appeared and caught away Elijah. And as they caught him away, he saw all that happened there. And the mantle was dropped, and the blessing along with it. He was right there on hand to get it. And he had not only the mantle, but he had a glimpse of the chariots of Israel that was to someday, no doubt, carry him home. He got a fresh inspiration, no doubt, to help him to carry on the rest of his life, and to help him to keep that purpose intent all the way through. And the Lord gives us inspirations along too if we follow on to know him. He don't leave us without these things. Sometimes we may pass through places where it doesn't seem that he's so near, and we may have to take him by faith considerably, but he just doesn't leave it to us to go by faith alone. All the while, he reveals himself to us in many, many ways, and does that for our encouragement, to help us to see that that nearness to him pays off in the end, and not only in the end, but all along the way. Then after that, this man had gotten this mantle, he went right back. He retraced his steps, went right back there to the river, and he took the same mantle that came from Elijah, And he smote the river, the water, and it parted for him. So it parted for one man, where it had parted for thousands before. And it had been several years from the time that it parted for he and Elijah as they went over, but it was just a short time from the time that they both went over until Elisha went back, and the Lord just worked just as miraculously for him as he had for the others before. And so it is that God is no respecter of persons. He opened the waters for the children of Israel there and for Joshua. He opened them for Elijah and Elisha. And then he opened them again for Elisha. He's no respecter of persons, and he's no respecter of numbers. It's just what he wants is us to follow him intently, continually. If we don't, we're going to miss the blessing. We need to occupy. There's another parable that tells about a man that done similarly to the one we read about this morning, and he told them, he says, occupy till I come. Do something till I get back. Don't just go to sleep in the meantime, or go off on a journey or something of the sort. He says, occupy till I come. And that's what he expects of us too. Now, we may occupy or function in a different manner, one from the other, according to our ability and to that which the Lord has entrusted to us, but nevertheless, he expects us to occupy until he comes. And if we're diligent about that and don't let anything interfere with us, we're going to get a blessing along as we go and be a blessing along as we go. But otherwise, we're going to fail for ourselves and for others, too, for that matter. And we have, as we said in the beginning, a responsibility to ourselves, to our Lord, that has been so gracious to us and to others round about us. So may the Lord bless these few thoughts to the good of our hearts and help us that we, everyone, may follow on to know the Lord as we ought. And I'm sure that if we do that, he won't fail on his part to give the blessings that we stand in need of from day to day. Jenna, would you like to sing that song, Follow the Lord? I will follow the Lord.